This video is brought to you by Nebula. Today, Israel strikes Iran, the US vetoes Palestinian UN membership, and voting begins in India's marathon general election. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. Early on Friday morning, Israel launched an attack on Iranian soil, according to sources cited across various media outlets, in an apparent response to the barrage of drones and rockets fired at Israel by Iran last week. Now, at the time of writing, things aren't 100% clear, so we're going to run through what we know has happened and what is being said by the various sides in the conflict. Blasts were heard early on Friday in Iran's Isfahan province, which is home to a major Iranian military base and nuclear enrichment facility. US officials have told multiple outlets that this was an Israeli attack on Iran, and that Israel had given the US advanced notice of said attack. US sources said a missile had been involved in the attack, while Iranian officials said that the country's air defences had intercepted three drones and that no damage or casualties had been reported. So far, Iranian authorities have not identified the source of the attack, and Reuters reports that Iranian state media had an initially subdued response to the attack, and that a senior Iranian official said that Iran had no plan to strike back immediately. The apparent attack prompted Iran to restrict its airspace, but flight restrictions have since been lifted. Separately, Syrian media reported that an Israeli airstrike had hit air defense sites in southern Syria, causing material losses. The Israeli government and military, which had previously vowed to respond to last week's Iranian attack, remained silent on Friday morning, and the Jerusalem Post writes that Israel will not accept responsibility for this attack for strategic reasons. Given all of this, the apparent Israeli attack on Iran has been described by some as limited in scope, raising hopes that the tit-for-tat exchanges between the two arch foes won't escalate further. Following Iran's attack on Israel last week, which itself followed an Israeli strike on the Iranian consulate in Syria, Western leaders and allies of Israel had been urging Israel to avoid escalation and exercise restraint in any response to Iran. The US, for example, urged Israel to pursue a diplomatic response and to take the win because of how much of the attack had been intercepted. Anyway, we'll have a full video on this topic coming out on the TLDR Global channel tomorrow, so be sure to watch that if you're interested. There's more on the way, but remember to subscribe and ring the bell for more daily briefing next week. Plus, if you want to support the channel like Ginny N, then consider joining the new TLDR membership program for just $1.99. On Thursday, the United States vetoed a UN Security Council resolution that would have granted Palestine full United Nations membership, sinking the Algerian proposal despite 12 of the 15 council members voting in favour. Specifically, Russia, China, France, plus most of the non-permanent council members voted yes to the proposal. The United Kingdom and Switzerland abstained, and the United States exercised its veto power by saying no. For context, the state of Palestine is not a full member of the UN, but it has been a non-member observer state since 2012, meaning it's able to participate in UN proceedings in a limited way, but does not have voting rights. For Palestine to become the UN's 194th full member, the UN Security Council would have needed to endorse the proposal with at least 9 out of 15 votes in favour, and no vetoes. If successful, the proposal would then be sent to the UN General Assembly, which would have likely passed it with more than the two-thirds majority that is required. In explaining its veto, the US said that it continues to strongly support a two-state solution, adding that this vote does not reflect opposition to Palestinian statehood, but instead is an acknowledgement that it will only come from direct negotiations between the parties. The Palestinian presidency condemned the US veto as unfair, unethical, and unjustified. A Polish man has been charged in connection to an alleged Russian plot to assassinate Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky. Paweł K., as he's been named, is alleged to have been tasked, quote, to help, among other things, in planning by Russian special services a possible attack on the life of the head of a foreign state, President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. Polish prosecutors say he proactively established contact with Russian military command representatives and agreed to give information to Russian spies about the security at an airport in southeastern Poland near to the Ukrainian border, known for being used by Zelensky when he goes on foreign trips. If convicted, he could face up to 8 years in prison. In a separate case, two suspects have been detained in Poland on suspicion of carrying out an attack on Russian dissident Leonid Volkov, an ally of the late Alexei Navalny in Lithuania. Lithuania's president says that the two suspects will be handed over to Lithuania, but didn't give a time frame. Volkov was in the capital Vilnius, where he lives in exile, when his car windows were smashed and he was attacked with tear gas and a hammer. Today, Indians start voting in a marathon election, which will last 6 weeks, and is expected to return Prime Minister Narendra Modi to another 5-year term in power. Modi's strength has been attributed to his Hindu nationalist agenda. Currently, Modi's ruling BJP party and its allied parties hold just under 2/3 of the 542-seat Lok Sabha, or lower house. Modi will be looking to tighten his control by winning more seats this time round. In fact, they've set the bar to around 400 seats. Challenging Modi's camp is the opposition Indian National Congress at the head of a big tent multi-party opposition alliance, who are fighting what they say are the BJP's superior funds and sway over the media and law enforcement agencies. Indian elections are frequently described as the largest democratic exercise in the world, with more than 10% of the world's population heading to the polls. But the mother of all democracies isn't actually in perfect shape. Critics say that the country's democracy has been undermined since the BJP came to power 10 years ago. While surveys show Modi to be the most popular leader by a wide margin, opposition leaders have accused the government of skewing the pitch, using lawfare to jail opponents and bringing Hindu nationalism into the mainstream. And finally, today's uplifting story, kindly suggested by Daily Briefing member Oscar Lozada, is about the discovery of fossils thought to have come from the largest sea reptile ever to have lived, all thanks to an 11-year-old girl from the UK. Fossil hunter Ruby Reynolds and her father Justin are among the co-authors of a paper published on Wednesday that reports on their discovery of a bone from the lower jaw of a species of giant ichthyosaur, which they found on a beach at Blue Anchor in Somerset back in 2020. Paleontologists say the creature would have been about the same size as a blue whale, with its full jaw measuring in at more than 2 metres long and its whole body around 25 metres long. It's believed to have existed towards the end of the Triassic period, and according to experts, is probably the largest marine reptile formally described. Ruby, who's now 15, is pretty chuffed about the discovery, which she said she's very proud to have played a part in. Thanks again to Daily Briefing member Oscar Lozada for suggesting that story. And if you also want to get involved, our channel members get the ability to suggest uplifting stories. They get access to exclusive badges next to their names, emojis in the comments, and priority comment replies. All for just $1.99 a month. That's not the end of this story either. So if you want to dive deeper into this and other stories, we have an exciting announcement. That's because it was revealed, in Variety no less, that we're building a new product with our partners at Nebula, called Nebula News. Let me explain this exciting announcement. In an increasingly polarised and confusing world, it's hard to find news that matters and that you can trust. So every day, the TLDR team curates a selection of videos that matter most in the world right now, handpicking a feed of content which should keep you up to date with everything you need. That means no more overwhelming feeds of news coverage, and instead just the stories that matter most. Videos produced by the brilliant creators on Nebula and curated by the TLDR team. It's truly the easiest way for you to keep on top of the news that matters to impress at your next wedding, dinner party, or whatever your life entails. It's not just curated news content brought to you directly by us. Nebula also features exclusive original content. That's things like Real Life Law's brand new series War Room, which every month runs you through a whole load of ongoing conflicts, keeping you in the loop. You can also watch every TLDR video on Nebula ad-free, and in many instances, before they land on YouTube. Now, if you're already subscribed to Nebula, you can find the brand new Nebula news section at nebula.tv/news, and be sure to bookmark or save that link so you can use it as your TLDR-ified news homepage. If you're not a member already, then click the link in the description to sign up now. If you do, you'll get 40% off an annual plan by using our link. That's less than £2 a month. Plus, Nebula will know that you came from us, which really helps us out. Thanks for your support, especially when we're doing something so big and new. And we hope you love Nebula News.